From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It takes a little work, but it actually may be possible to find the arc in Drew Danbury's life and work. It's because he develops these characters, these identities for his projects. For one album, he created the persona of Damien Fairchild, a 13-year-old boy from West Provo who's discovered literature and art. Really, Drew Danbury is just another persona. He's the hopeful one, the idealist. Bastian Salazar is the latest incarnation. He's pissed off. He doesn't buy the hope or idealism. Today in the program, Drew Danbury is joining us as we continue our series on local music. So here's how to explain his forthcoming album. It's the story of how Drew became Bastian. Join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. There's a line from the guys in the band Arcade Fire that Drew Danbury really likes. When people ask what their songs are about, what the lyrics mean, they often say they're self-explanatory, which is a way of saying they mean what you think they mean. And that's how Drew feels about the meaning of his own lyrics. But let's be honest, his songs are saying something very particular about his life, like most songwriters. And in Drew's case, there actually seems to be a story playing out, an actual narrative, a kind of progression. And you can track this stuff by following the personas he creates for his musical projects. Drew Danbury is actually one of those personas, by the way. He's the guy who came into music full of joy and hope. Bastian Salazar is another persona. He's fed up. He's angry. Drew's latest album is the story of how Drew Danbury became Bastian Salazar. It's coming out next month, and today he's joining us to talk about it and to play some of the songs. You can join the conversation if you like. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378, and our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We'd also like to hear from those of you on Facebook and on Twitter. Drew Danbury has self-published 5 albums. Actually, it's more like 18, really, when you think about all of the different incarnations. He's recently re-released the album This Could Mean Trouble, You Don't Speak for the Club. And the new record I mentioned, Becoming Bastian Salazar, is going to be released in September. You can learn more about that on his Facebook page. We'll give you a link to that on our website. And Drew Danbury, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess I wanted to start by asking you when you first came to this. Okay, so let's sort of lay this out. You came to Utah from California.
Yes.
A skateboarder kid.
Yeah.
Straight edge inclinations, those kinds of things. But not a musician, at least not at first, not when you first got here, right?
No. I did write a lot of lyrics and like poetry or rap music,
yeah.
But I didn't really do too much with that. It kind of was a little joke thing, but I wouldn't consider that really musical.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get at, so you kind of fell into music, the poetry became lyrics, and then
yeah.
You started figuring out songs.
Yeah, at a certain point in time, I was at my brother's house in South Carolina, and they had an extra guitar, and I was really bored. And I picked up a guitar, and they had a book with chords in it, and I found 3 chords, and I said, I can do this. So I put 3 chords together and wrote out a song, and I said, I wrote a song. This is very satisfying. I'm going to show my friend who writes songs, and then it kind of just steamrolled from there where, you know, I just ended up writing lots and lots of songs.
At what point did it become, or did it, a passion for you? Like, and do you even feel like that now, that the sense that music is now my life. I found this thing finally.
That's a really good and interesting question because I feel like the opposite almost. Like I think at a certain point, maybe in like 2004 or 5, I definitely felt like this is my passion in life. This is what I'm going to do forever.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to stop me. And then at a certain level, you know, I got married. I could see how difficult it was, not just on myself, but now on my wife. And I thought, I can't do this to somebody that I love. I can't keep, you know, beating this dead horse. I can't keep just failing over and over and over again. I have to do something different, provide for this person that I love, because I could just see how much she was suffering when, you know, the car breaks down and we're stuck in a hotel in Florida. And then we spend months and months and months after we get back to try and pay off all the debts we've accrued over tour, et cetera, et cetera. Like every musician's sob story. But instead of just, you know, complaining about it, I thought I'd just do something about it.
Yeah.
And I became a barber.
Right.
Man.
Which I want to talk to about, by the way. But music wasn't just a thing that you did. It wasn't just a job, right? I mean, or are you wondering now?
No, it definitely was a passion.
Yeah.
Like you said. And there definitely was a moment where this is my purpose in life. This is what I want to do. And in a lot of ways, it evolved into a job. A lot of times in the barbershop, I'll have young college people who come in and they say, yeah, man, I just don't know what I want to do in life. And I'll think, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Like, it's going to be a job.
Right.
Eventually. You know, it doesn't matter how awesome life is. Like, at some point in time, you're going to get up and get out of bed and say, oh, instead of making a movie, or instead of hitting the road and going on tour, or instead of this, I wish I could just sleep in and play video games or do whatever, you know, it is you want to do. There's always a level of, like, you need to do this in order to survive.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. When did you come up with the idea of these kind of personas? And what's that about? Like, Drew Danbury is a persona. Bastian Salazar, we'll get to.
Yeah.
It's a persona. Is it a way of kind of, was it a way of insulating yourself in some way, protecting your own identity?
Definitely, yes. But also, I think initially when I was doing music, I had a lot of friends who would kind of say, oh, well, you're different on stage. You're not who you really are in real life. And initially—
Is that true?
I don't know. And initially, I mean, how am I not myself, right?
Yeah.
Initially, I was weirded out by it because I felt like it was everything that I was that I was putting on stage. And then as time—
Like your true self?
Yeah. But as time passed, I kind of just saw it as, you know what, they're kind of right. Like, I am more optimistic on stage than I'm not always optimistic and fun and happy and goofing around all the time. Like, people aren't one thing all the time. So I kind of started to identify, like, yeah, this stage performance that I'm putting on is a performance. It's not like me bearing my heart and soul like I kind of thought it was.
Right.
And so I kind of identified that, and then there's other aspects of my personality or who I am as a human being that I kind of wanted to express or communicate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hence the Damien Fairchild, the Bastian Salazar, all these other things that make me everything that I am.
Yeah. Damien's the young you, right?
Yeah, very much so.
And the persona that you put together for him, I mean, you actually have a little backstory. It's not yours necessarily, although the story emotionally is you. This kid from West Provo grows up in a trailer. His mom she's homeschooling him. She introduces him to literature and art, and it takes fire, and he has this kind of sense of idealism and its exploration. But he doesn't know how crappy life can be yet, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I think the key thing with the Damien Fairchild persona that I like cued in on was I distinctly have very strong memories of being like a preteen and a teen where, you know, things hadn't been tainted by like the sexuality that just dominates that era of life. And, you know, you're in a classroom and this girl that is just so gorgeous is like talking to you and you're just floored, like she's dating some guy that, you know, isn't cool to her at all, and you think, man, she's just so beautiful and she's such a wonderful person, I would do anything I could to let her know how wonderful she is, like that kind of love, that innocent young, like, lust isn't even part of the picture kind of love.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's kind of what the whole Damien Fairchild thing is all about.
When did Bastian Salazar come to you as a character? Because this is I mean, it was basically a punk album that you produced, and it's full of kind of fury and rage, and there's not a lot of hope in that album.
No, not at all. And that's I think that's why that project just fell apart so fast, because I don't think that
that's not who you are.
It's not who I am, but also I don't think you can build anything with negativity. Huh. It's a destructive force. So when you build a band around negativity, it can't last in a lot of ways. It was an even dark period of my life because I felt that like kind of creeping into my life, period. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
When you behave a certain way, it ends up affecting who you really are. Like, I feel like a lot of our actions are just kind of repetition based.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I'm glad it was a short-lived period.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how you feel from time to time still, right?
No, totally.
Yeah.
And I think that thing started like probably in like 2008, 2009, 2010, where, you know, you're struggling. Okay, I'm still struggling, and I have this, like, I'm getting sick of being optimistic and hopeful all the time. You want to let it out. And every time you do, people look at you like, whoa, what's wrong with you, Drew? You're always happy. You're always nice. And so you just invent this persona. It's like, no, I'm not always that way. And I need some way to, like, get this out. So you invent this persona, essentially.
The new album is that, as I explained in the introduction, it's that middle point. It's, you got Bastion, pissed off, angry, not sustainable, as you said. Then you've got Drew, who was the kind of naive guy who comes into music in the first place, who's thinking, I am going to be able to make a living with this, and I'm going to be this wonderful folk singer, all this stuff. This is the middle ground. It's sort of how you got to the angry part, this album.
It's kind of like this album, Becoming Bastian Salazar, I would describe as, I always forget this. It's that C.S. Lewis book.
Screwtape?
Yeah. Thanks.
Screwtape Letters, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of that. I wanted to explore how one goes from good to evil, how they go from hope to despair, because it isn't just like a single step. There's like a progression of events or thought processes where doubt enters in and doubt becomes the faith instead of the faith itself, if that makes sense.
Sure. So. Well, I'll ask you this later, but I want you to be thinking about this. Where have you settled? Don't answer that yet. I want to have you play a song. This is from the album, the new one, coming next month in September. Becoming Bastian Salazar is the name of it. And this title, I want to read this title. Your titles are great.
Thanks.
And they take forever to read. Elliot Rosewater, Peter Weir, Buck Brannaman, Jason Anderson. This is the title I'm still reading. Ralph Waldo Emerson and the Dalai Lama, or The Day I Realized That I'll Never Be Who I Want, But Will Always Be Who I Am, and That Is Sufficient. And that's a line from the song. And this question comes up. Do you have what it takes to make it?
As a musician?
Yeah. I mean, this seems to be one of the sort of essential, because what you say, what the character in the song says, or raises the title raises the question, you know, the day I realized I'll never be who I want.
Yeah. Remind me what the question is.
Well, the question is, do you think you have it? The it?
I don't think I can answer that.
Really?
I don't think any... I'm not self-aware enough to know if I have it.
Yeah.
My initial answer would be no, but then who knows? I mean, who really knows? I feel like there's so much luck involved with the it, you know, the timing of what you're doing, when you're doing it, and... But generally, I just say no, and... I think a lot of that is also an insulation.
Yeah.
Because I like going to work and every day and coming home to my wife and hanging out with my wife and my son, and I like that life, and I like the comfort and the haven that home is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, here it is. I already read the title. I'll let you go to it.
Okay.
From Drew Danbury's album, Becoming Bastian Salazar.
Okay. It's unbearable lack of talent tied to foolish dreams. There may be a single person who's helped by anything I've done. or could do, as I've done nothing my life through. Is daily breaking for all the friends I've lost. Nothing lasts forever, but can't there be just one love for life at least? 'Cause I'd give most anything. So I'll crawl into a corner to face the wall and die. Thought there was a purpose for my life, but it's a lie. No one could sift through this. What I daily wait in.
Drew Danbury. It's from his new recording, his record, Becoming Bastian Salazar, which is coming out next month in September. He recently re-released the 2008 album, This Could Mean Trouble, You Don't Speak for the Club. We are going to take a brief break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER.
Until the day I lost my love, now she is gone, scattered upon a wind-whipped dawn. And I used to be a sailor up until the day that she did drown.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, another installment in our series on local music. The singer-songwriter and accomplished barber, Drew Danbury, is back with us. It's been 3 years since he made a record. Next month, he's releasing one that is something of a new departure in some way. Anyway, it tells the story of this new musical persona, Bastian Salazar, how he got from Drew to Bastian. And he's with us to sing songs from that and from other albums. We'll put a link, by the way, to information about that new album, which will be on his Facebook, on our website as well. So I'm trying to guess. So it seems like there's a song on the new album. Blake Henderson taught me that teamwork makes the dream work.
Yep.
And it's this kind of like I always look for a story in there or some sort of narrative that's playing out. But it seems like you kind of took all of these different kinds of sayings or things that you had been collecting, like on a napkin here or a notepad here or something like that, and kind of threw them into the mix, which is not to say there isn't some kind of meaning. I'm sure that there is, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff packed into this song.
Yeah, it took me a month to write the words, so I think of all the songs that I've ever written, this is probably, I feel the most proud of this one, just because it is like a total word puzzle.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways it may come across as hodgepodge, but I definitely think that there is like a meaning, and I think that may not be art, but it's clever.
This is from the album coming out again next month, Becoming Bastian Salazar. Blake Henderson taught me that teamwork makes the dream work.
By now, you'll be a million miles gone, your tongue between your teeth.
captive conundrums replaced with a lark. Riding those railings well into the dark and execrated when you're found again. And although you won't consider coming home, at least consider those kissing their Bibles and gilding their eyes, jarring the heavens with their plaintive cries, and throwing their bonnets or mills in the light of your own vampire. You can always count on being empty and greedy, 'cause piling tomorrows will leave you empty days. Waiting games to skin your knees. You haven't hit your stride. You've hidden access, a coward's contest, presenting prattle to ironed ears with a stethoscope in your hand. But if you could just remember winsome days, withholding your disdain, thin-skinned and hopeful, conjecturing how to kill your albatross and to avow chivalry among all men. Acquaintances like an interlacing arcade, count on them at hazard when in disaster. You know well the price of ladder rungs, but lost the value of good friends. Not realizing criticism doesn't contribute, eviscerating, defenestrating traditions once, maintaining joy now sullied and undermined. But oh, how it helps mavens thrush-like tones outweigh those making bones. And if all the auguries are looking bleak, if words twist to justify death for belief, well, good timber does not grow with ease.
Drew Danbury. Blake Henderson taught me that teamwork makes the dream work. It's from Becoming Bastion Salazar, the album that's coming out next month. What does it take to be a good barber? Like, what's the gift?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Really?
I feel like...
Are you a good barber, do you think? I mean, I've heard you're a good barber.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't know, like, what I think. Okay, what makes a good barber? You caught me out of left field on this one. I wasn't ready for this. Just kidding. What makes a good barber is somebody who listens to what their clients say and does what they ask, or kind of has an understanding or an ability to communicate through that process and know what they want. That's why when somebody comes in with a photo, you know, that's super helpful.
Yeah.
If you're good enough to cut the hair that way. But generally, I think it's just listening. I feel like a lot of barbers just do what they want, and they think it looks good, but the client isn't happy. And then a lot of other barbers, I don't know.
That is the most practical answer I could ever hear. That, like, which is great, but I guess I'm like, to take a steady hand. I guess I'm looking for something deeper or more metaphorical about it, but maybe that's not how you see it.
I generally tend to see things rather practically or logically.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, very much. I guess what I'm probably known for as a barber or good at is fading or doing fades.
Yeah, doing the fade. Yeah,
like doing the classic barber taper, like just the old-fashioned look. I got that down real good. So I think that in a lot of ways the reason – I mean, the shop is awesome. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of details to everything that it would take a long time to explain. But generally, I think that I'm offering something that other people aren't offering, if that makes sense, in a business sense. So,
I want to ask you about a song from an EP you released a while back, The First Pillar.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Preparing for Alaska, Chiasmus or John Steinbeck. And there's a line here, you refer to yourself, or the person singing the song refers to himself as a fallen man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line that says, well, I used to be a lover up until the day I lost my love. Is this a song about a person, or are you talking about music, like love, losing the thing, the love is music?
I would say with this particular song, it's definitely about music.
Yeah.
It's more of like a metaphorical song.
So is this in some way, where were you when you wrote this in terms of emotionally? Like you were ready to ditch it?
Honestly, I was sitting in, my wife and I had an apartment in Provo, like probably a year after we were married. It's just this little rat trap apartment in Provo. And I really look back on that extremely fondly, renting free movies at the library and eating popcorn and watching them on our bed. You know, like that kind of like newlywed love where you're broke and it doesn't matter anyways. And I think in the place that I was when I was writing the songs, I guess I kind of was starting to just kind of turn into that. I was starting to evolve into that realization that, like, I don't care about music as much as I care about my wife or providing for my wife or kind of just moving into that a little less, like, romantic and maybe a little bit more logical realm, perhaps.
And then there's this reference in the song, staring at pine boxes as if they're destiny.
Yeah.
That's a coffin. The song is about suicide.
It's about death. I don't really give away too many themes in the song, in the music or the whole arc at all, but Alaska is definitely a metaphor for that. So,
for what?
Suicide.
Yeah.
Or death. Or, you know, it's in earlier albums, there's Postponing Alaska Part 1 and there's another Part 2 and stuff like that.
Postponing suicide.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, you had a plan. You had a plan. You were going to go to Alaska and kill yourself.
Yeah, I was. In about 2005, and I just kept putting it off, kept postponing it, because I had to finish the next album. So in a lot of ways, music kind of saved my life, and in other ways, you know, it just kept me going, I guess, for a while.
But really, Alaska would travel up there and just kind of disappear? Was that the idea?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't want to make a big fuss about it. I just kind of wanted to go disappear. There's a lot of water up there.
Yeah.
It's really cold. And no one's going to find you. Not to give anyone ideas. I don't think that's a good idea. It wasn't a good idea at all. And a lot of like my faith in like a higher being or a life purpose, despite like moments where I wonder if I really have a purpose in life or if I have like any, I don't know. I won't even get into that. But I definitely feel like a stronger power in my life. And I think that's one of the main reasons why. Just because, you know, I don't know how I got so lucky. I don't know how I have a barbershop that people like to go to. I don't know how I have a wife that's so amazing. I don't know how I have a son that's so amazing. Like, I don't know how I just got, how I won the lottery in life. And it doesn't mean that life's always easy, but in a lot of ways, it's almost undeniable. Like, almost everybody that I know is a really amazing human being. And I still don't know why anybody likes me. So in that sense, I don't know. Maybe people can identify with that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, here's something you told us this week. You said that you can't take somebody seriously if they haven't considered the question of suicide.
Well, not that.
But are you saying that the unexamined life, it's like that song is not worth living? That's what you're getting at.
Yeah. I'm not saying like every. Because I feel like even if you ask my wife that, she would have never considered suicide ever. She's a little simpler. Like, if you ask her what her favorite band is, she'll say Journey. If you ask her what her favorite TV show, she'll say 30 Rock. She knows what she likes, and she doesn't vacillate. She's really solid. She's strong, she's stable, and I think in a lot of ways it's why I'm so grateful for it, because I'm always...
You envy that, don't you, as a characteristic?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I would love that. I just can never decide on anything. Even just last night we're watching a movie and I'm like, oh, do we want to watch it on this TV or on a different TV? And I sit for like 2 minutes. Let's watch it on the other TV after we've already watched like 2 or 3 or 5 minutes into the movie. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Sorry it took so long. I didn't know. Like, whereas for her, she'd be like, I don't like this. I'm going to do this now. Let's change this immediately. And it's like a huge difference in our characters. But I guess I feel like, yeah, the unexamined life is definitely not worth living.
Yeah. Well, here's the song. It's Preparing for Alaska, Chiasmus, or John Steinbeck. It's from The First Pillar. It's Drew Danbury.
Well, I used to be a lover up until the day I lost my love. Now she is gone, scattered upon a wind-whipped dawn. And I used to be a sailor up until the day that she did drown. Her body found, debris around, entwined in crown. Oh, my darling memory, is there any way that you'll return to me? 'Cause this fallen man is staring at pine boxes as if they're destiny. Well, I used to be a statesman up until the day I found that I was more inclined to simple life and to my wife. And I used to be a miser up until the day I did surmise there was no prize or joy inclined by what you buy. There's more to life than everything you see, and a wedding ring won't make a bride-to-be, but you can bet the love you give will just come back around as the love you receive. Sitting here, lost everything I've loved. Oh, my darling dear, please wait for me above. And if anyone can share a reason why I should keep living, please speak up.
Drew Danbury. So what's the difference, do you think, between music, the music and the musician? Because you've talked about this relationship that people have with music, like something that means something to them, you know, lifts them out of a depression sometimes, or gives them joy, gives them hope or whatever. And so they naturally give the musician the credit for that.
Yeah, totally.
But you say as a musician, you're not always the music.
Never the music, I would say. I mean, so a perfect example is that song I just played. I wrote it in my little rat trap apartment in Provo. I have like a very specific memory. I was on the phone with my friend Shantae and I was showing it to her and she said, Drew, that's my favorite song you've ever written. I said, awesome. And, you know, I have very like specific emotional attachments to that song. But then, you know, someone else hears it and they have a completely different experience. So it's a completely different thing to them.
Yeah.
I was talking with my friend Phil Dickey from the band Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin, about that actually. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, you know. It's hard and it's heavy because, like, you have life heroes. Like, I don't know how many people love Weezer. Like, I love Weezer, but, you know, like, you know, you have these experiences. Like, I would listen to Only in Dreams off their first album, like, going to bed, like, every night for years as a teenager. It was just, like, my going to bed song. And there's so many things like that where you have these emotional attachments and this is what it means to you. And then you meet the person, like say if I met Rivers, like it would be so weird for him, I imagine, and so heavy to have to deal with all that emotional baggage right out the gate. And I feel like every musician is just a human being, just like we all are, but we have these unbalanced, like one-sided relationships with every musician we've come across, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a song from the new album, Becoming Bastian Salazar. Author's note, Bastian Salazar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have you sing this song. This is kind of, if you're looking at this as a story, this is the epilogue in some way to the story?
Yeah, definitely. It's the author's note. It's kind of like the summary of what you just, if the album were a book, then that song would be like the summary of what they just read.
It's interesting because, I mean, and here's a lyric, and everyone leaning on faith mm-hmm. would see that there was just no hope.
As long as I'm known.
As long as I'm known.
Yeah.
Do I dare ask, what do you mean by that?
That's definitely like the bastion speaking,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a...
Well, wait, you're killing bastion, right?
No. That's where you become bastion.
Right, because this is the transition. Yep.
Yeah, I know. It gets confusing, too. I guess I just feel like the bastion character... or that aspect of myself is completely full of self-loathing,
yeah.
which is why it translates to everyone else around him. Like anybody you meet that hates the world generally just hates themselves. They just aren't savvy enough to see their own hypocrisy, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so with the characters, you know, like you have two ends of the spectrum where Drew Danbury's optimistic and hopeful and just wants to love everybody because he wants to be loved. And Bastian Salazar just hates everybody because he hates himself.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, I feel like as a human being myself very, very much in between those. And I can identify with both feelings. Yeah. But
here it is, author's note,
okay.
Bastian Salazar.
When I was young, I took my arm. Never leave my side while it was dark. You placed a nail on my outstretched tongue. Promised to give me words, but in the end I'd owe you one. And it was you. Sold my soul to. So we laid out knives between the words. And lying's lots of fun, but the truth seems to have more hurt. So we mixed it up, went Surrey side. Swinging for the heavens, and aiming for the eyes. But it was you. Crashing down. You'd think after all this blood spilled, the slaughtered would scream from torn mouths. And everyone leaning on faith would see that there just was no hope. As long as I'm known. Comes the lies, the best told true. And as long as you're around, it is the best I seem to do. It's like once you start, it's hard to quit. Put in so much work to wish you could return each bit, but it's what you.
Drew Danbury from his upcoming album, Becoming Bastian Salazar. It's going to come out the 16th of September. He's also re-released his 2008 album, This Could Mean Trouble, You Don't Speak for the Club. You can find out all this information on Drew's Facebook page. We'll give you a link to that on our website. And we're going to take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER.
simple shells one day become balustrades to guard your health from any ideas that would strain that simple joy.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio, back now with the singer-songwriter Drew Danbury. Talking about his new album, which is coming out next month, 16th of September, Becoming Bastian Salazar. I want to ask you, there's a song, Kobosuka. Wait, hold on.
I don't know.
Yosuke Kobosuka. It's a Japanese actor.
Yeah. I don't even know how to say it.
Okay, cool. Because neither do I. But it's a song, though, that you wrote for this actor.
Well, it's not for him, but I like... All the titles kind of don't really correlate with the songs.
Yeah.
I just really like him as an actor. There's a certain time period. I would definitely say Ping Pong is my favorite movie, which is the movie that he's in.
Yeah.
And there's a time period where I probably watched it like 60 times in like 1 year.
Wow.
Just because I'd be on the road. And I'm like, you haven't seen this movie. You got to watch it. It's like I have it memorized in Japanese and I don't speak Japanese.
Kind of.
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous.
But this was something you just kind of wrote not for him, but because you liked him.
Yeah, well, yeah. I gave him the song title because I liked him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's interesting that there's a lyric that says, maybe there's good and bad in everything.
Yeah.
But how could anyone presume that they know? And that's kind of that's the sense in this song is like there are all these perspectives, billions of perspectives as you put it in the song. But so how do you know? I mean—
Exactly. I don't understand anybody who has an opinion that thinks it applies to other people. I just don't understand that, personally.
And then there are these confessions, though, Drew, in the song, you know, that seems so personal and so revealing. You say this in the song, these simple songs will get me nowhere in this life. And then this, you say, I've been writing all these songs just for myself.
Yeah.
It's like this amazingly confessional moment, I have to say. It kind of seems stunning.
Yeah, well, I definitely feel that. I mean, I feel all those things. That's why I put it in the song. I definitely feel like...
Just play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yosuke Kobosuka.
These simple shelves one day become balustrades to guard your health. Any ideas that would strain that simple joy? Now placed in glass upon display, refraining touch. For what our fathers fought to stay. Let me share to you a brief. Let me tell you about an observation. Something I was thinking about this nation. Maybe there's good and bad in everything. How could anyone presume that they know? Defining anything at all just seems so. When there are billions of perspectives. To understand motivates another man how they can place value on the things I can't. These simple songs will get me nowhere in this life. You'd sing along if they weren't boringly despised. Let me share with you a brief confession. There's not any need for outside mention. I've been writing all these songs just for myself. How could anyone consider thousands, let alone a song with meaning to them? I cannot escape myself enough to write a hit. backwards with the harmonica. I put it in backwards.
Sounded good to me.
Yeah.
From Becoming Bastian Salazar, that's Drew Danbury. So, look, I've got to ask you about this lyric, and I cannot escape myself enough to write a hit.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true? What does that mean?
What's a hit?
You go, what is a hit?
I'm not Kanye West.
What do you mean? You're the one. What do you mean? Like, and so, and are you resigned to that fact that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just feel like, oh, what's a hit? Have you ever read any Chuck Klosterman?
Yeah.
He talks about why country music is amazing, and he basically gives like this mention, like, there is this song and it sings about, you know, going to the frosty freeze and getting ketchup on your white shirt and wearing your blue jeans and riding in the back of the pickup truck, and how amazingly calculated it is to write that because there are millions of kids all throughout the Midwest who have frosty freezes that they go to. And, oh, man, remember that time you got ketchup on your shirt and we were riding in the back of your truck? And it's so easy to relate to. And there's like this calculative manner of like writing songs that you can relate to, like the biggest mass audience ever.
Yep.
And I feel like for me personally, I just write about myself and write songs about me or how I feel about things. And I don't think that everyone's going to vibe with that. I don't think that it's shallow or like relatable enough that a lot of people can get behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, even just talking about like the suicide thing, I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably can't even like identify with like, what a crazy guy. Who is this crazy person on the radio? He considered suicide. He's already crazy and he's got all these different personalities. He's got to be like totally nuts. And I think there are people that will say, oh man, that guy too? Cool. I'll check that music out. But there's a lot of people that'll probably just think, man, that guy's totally nuts. So
I'm okay with that is what you're saying too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally okay with it. But I don't think I can write a hit. I'm not saying I can't write a song that I like, just a hit.
Yeah. There's a song, Victoria, yeah. For All the Girls, or Jeff Logsdon.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Becoming Bastian Salazar, the album. And it's kind of this, you write to these different cities that I take it this person has visited. You know, there's Victoria, uh-huh. There's Brooklyn, there's Bellingham, there's Charleston. And finally, there's Provo.
Yeah.
And there's this refrain in there you say to Provo, which I guess expresses what your conflicted relationship with that city.
Yeah.
Where you live, by the way, and have the barbershop.
Yeah.
Why must you be so strange? Why must you divide people to extremes?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I should say on behalf of how much I do love Provo, I think that Provo's changing. The downtown area is so cool. There's some amazing restaurants. There's a different vibe down there, and it's not. And I think that it's evolving. I think that like Salt Lake is not as black and white of a place as it used to be.
Yeah.
I feel like Provo's on its way.
To being there.
Yeah.
It's funny you say there's a line where you talk about how we may not live here forever, but we'll always be glad we came, which I'm not sure what sort of clue that's giving about your relationship with Provo, but...
I never meant to stay.
Yeah.
I never meant to stay. But I do love Provo. It's kind of like saying, hey, Provo, you have faults, and I recognize those faults, but I still love you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's Drew Danbury. It might have him play this song. But first, let me say that Radio West is a production of KUER News. Technical direction today from Michael Havey. The show engineered by Lewis Downey. Our thanks to Walker Adams as well. Of course, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard, Andy Lane Clark. And the album is called Becoming Bastian Salazar. It's coming out next month. September 16th is the date. You can find the details on Drew's Facebook page, and we'll have a link to that on our website. Drew, thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah.
Here's the song Victoria for All the Girls, or Jeff Logsdon. It's from the album Becoming Bastian Salazar.
2, 3. Victoria, why must you be so cold? Why must you be above my every feeling? Have you no soul? In Brooklyn, dear, why must you hide in fear?
Why must you hide behind the skirts of strangers when I come near? I never felt worse than tonight. Ideals are begging to die. So when I drown in my blood, don't bother to ask reasons. Why there's a red ribbon tied to my wrist, protection from all four lines of English. But St. Jude's backed me right from the beginning. I might as well stop. Oh, Bellingham, it's been how many years? My fondness fills as yearning overwhelms me. But your kind years, oh Charleston, your lovely summer nights, your southern kindness washes my wounds clean, just like your ocean side. And a thicker skin I've always lacked, hypocritically asking more tact. It'd benefit me if you'd lend your ears, take fiction for the fact that you would give some of your time. There's a stranger and he's in his mind, with pressing highways and financial worries, we'll all be okay. Must you be so strange? Why must you divide people to extremes? You give your own bad name a clever trick to keep people at bay. So many come and then go on their way. We may not live here forever, but we'll always be glad we came. We may not live here forever, but we'll always be glad we came.